I am Gregory Ricks, your host. If you'd like to join the conversation tonight, get the phone, make the call. 504-2600-995.
Wait, are you the Gregory Ricks?
I'm the.
The guy on the radio?
The Gregory Ricks.
That's so cool. I'm your co-host, James Parker. I noticed in the comment cards, we'll go over some of these later in the show, but the election has made an appearance back in the comment cards. Kind of disappeared for about 3 or so years there.
I thought there was quite a bit last night.
Right, and it's on people's mind, but this is the season, strangely enough, when they tend to not make decisions that affect your money. It's just whoever is going to be in power for the next cycle that rolls around when they do make decisions that will affect your money.
Yeah, and one of them I addressed last night and then actually had a question because, you know, we do a Q&A after the port and chocolate tasting. And I said, well, I'm not being political here, and this isn't being political in how I'm going to answer this. And then a little bit later said, you know what? I am going to be political right here and now.
So, why do you even bring that up? You that's dangerous ground.
Oh,
people go crazy with politics. Look what's on the TV behind you right now. Three people going crazy over politics.
Oh, it was that. Here is what I, you know, we possibly could have somebody elected that's going to crush the economy. So that was a statement. It was kind of political. That okay. means somebody other than the current president. But I said, you know, doesn't matter who's president. We still got to make money. We've got to grow money, and we've got to protect money. And we've done it through a lot of presidents, and we didn't necessarily agree with all of them. But we still got to do what we do, and we're going to make adjustments.
Did you make money?
So that was political, but not political. But it is. That's what you're going to. What? We're going to throw in the towel? Where's the nearest cave for me to move into?
Right.
Oh, I'm leaving the country. No, I'm not leaving my country. I may go on a vacation from it for a week, but I'm not leaving my country. We're going to adapt,
yeah.
move about, and keep having success. And everybody else should look at that. Don't let this be something that like crushes you. Don't let this politics crush you and get you down. Yeah, you don't have to agree, but you know what? It's okay to have differences. And that is the cycle of leadership. It rotates and changes. You know, and yeah, we have some worries. Yeah, we don't like some things, but you know what? We had a day in this country that taxes were heck of a lot higher percentage-wise, much, much more higher. And I fear taxes are going to go up again. Okay, kind of cycling back. And then it'll rotate down again. It's going to happen.
Well, let's look at the record then. Have you made money under this president?
Yes.
Did you make money under the previous president?
Yes.
What about the one before that?
Yes.
What about the one before that?
Yes.
What about the next guy?
And my business All keeps right. growing. We have more clients. We keep getting better at what we do. I'm not going to, oh, I don't like his president. Well, let's shut it down. Let's start sucking at what we do. No.
Buy gold. Yeah. Buy spam bullets.
Sell everything and bury it. No, we're going to keep moving forward. Things are going to get better. We will adapt and adjust, circle the wagons, and we're going to go again. We're not quitting. We're never quitting.
Christy Marrero, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Christy?
I just got a quick question. My nephew is going to be 19, and he actually just signed a recording contract. And he moves to Miami to, of course, do the recording, music. My question is now good, you know, seven-figure income, but he's 18 years old. What is the best thing I could tell him to do with his money as far as so he doesn't get jammed up by not paying taxes or something like that?
Oh, first thing, I wonder if he had attorneys representing him regarding that contract he signed. That's kind of the scary thing. Usually, it's a big error the young musicians make. I've seen and heard too many stories about that. for celebrities, people that all of a sudden hit success, and for most, when you think about it, most, now we see the Lionel Richies and others that have had long careers, and you're always hearing their music, and they had bunch of albums, bunch of songs. But for the most part, start listing the one hit wonders, you know, and I don't know how far one hit goes, but my thought is you got to get it while the getting is good. Make the most of it for however long that run is. But you also don't need to live like this income you start making the next few years is going to go on for another 30 years. You still need to keep everything dialed back and start saving as much as you can until you reach a point that you've got enough saved that if it all came to a stop, the conservative income from those savings keeps you going from now on. That's the advice I would give, and I wouldn't go out there taking risk or anything without using experts in those areas of that, but I would just be super conservative and save as much as I could for the next several years.
What do you think, Christy?
That's pretty much what we told him, not to go over there and live this big, expensive lifestyle with name brand this and everything and, you know, spend thousands of dollars or whatever, you know, unnecessary, you know, try to. So that's what I just wanted to, you know, make sure. Like you, I don't think it'll last forever. So you got to get the money while you can. But that's pretty much what I wanted to hear, just to make sure he saves enough.
Yeah, it'd be a focus on saving. He having success, he's going to have to show up in the lifestyle, show up with the right clothes in style such as that, but still that isn't going to eat up all the money, and the focus should be about savings. So when this does come to a halt, to an end, he has something to show for it that sustains him from now on. Congratulations on that. We wish him the best of luck.
Well, maybe I was thinking of an example we brought up on the show before is the Shaquille O'Neal example where...
Oh, that's who I was thinking about. Exactly.
Yeah, when Gregory was talking about that, that's who came to mind. We've told the story on the show a couple times how when Shaquille O'Neal started, his plan was the first $1 million he makes every year, he peels that off, he puts it in an annuity, and the rest of the money goes into whatever he tries to do. But right off the top, there's a chunk of it that gets set aside and it's just growing untouched.
Yeah. So, you know, at the 10-year point of his career, now he made ridiculous money, but he was still socking away into a safe money place, $1 million a year. When you think about that, if you've saved $10 million and you have 4% income from that, that's pretty good money in anybody's world.
It'd be like $400,000 a year without a spin down. Yeah. So yeah. Just some thoughts there. I'm guessing he doesn't play the harp. The harp. Is there any seven-figure contracts out there for 18-year-olds that are just wicked with a harp?
Not that I know of.
All right. So he's doing a lot better than me, that's for sure. Now, you had the live event yesterday. You got another one coming up on the 22nd in Metairie. The one after that, it's October 24th at the Roost Chris in the Hard Rock Biloxi. But when I got the cards from last night, I lined them up in a certain order, where the first two comment cards at last night's event include a question about how the 2020 election is going to affect their money. One guy is saying, how much is this going to affect my money? The next guy is saying, what do I need to do to be prepared? And then stock market ups and downs. One included stock market ups and downs. The other one said stock market change, question mark.
Well, look, the market is moving up and down. It always does. At some point in time, it's going to move up much more. Look at the last quarter of 2018. That pretty much brought the whole year down. The year finished up at roughly -4.5%. The outlook is probably this fourth quarter might be a bit tough this year as well, is kind of the sense I'm getting out there. So you just might want to keep that in mind. And look, there's going to be things that affects the market in the future. And we've got so many things affecting it now. And to think that it's just going to keep going up. We had actually an anomaly the past 10 years, you had one negative year out of 10 years. Historically speaking, it averages about 3 negative years out of every 10 years. So you know that's coming. It's not all doom and gloom. It means it kind of averages 7 up years during 10 years. We like that. But you know, what could bring the house of cards down is the negative years. And you do need to have a portfolio built that kind of takes advantage of the ups, but does not completely expose you to the downside. And that's where we talk about the 50-50, 50-50 money management strategy. And no, it's not a 200% plan, but once you see how it's explained, you understand it really is 4 core parts. And I can't just draw that out for you on the air, but what we're getting at is you want to take advantage of upsides of the market, but you don't want to be completely exposed to downsides. And that's what we try to get across with that, knowing pain is going to come. And if you're, for example, 100% equities, I can tell you unhappiness is coming your way at some point in time. And then you're going to be euphoric later after that. Oh, finally, it came back. And then it's going to make you unhappy again at some point. And if you have a properly blended portfolio, it's just a part of what's happening, and you're creating a financial cycle of life where everything's blending and cycling to increase the probability of success instead of a roller coaster ride with equities. It should be a part, but definitely not all, that's for sure.
The other half of this card, these people that are concerned about how election 2020 is going to affect their money, how do you address that?
Well, what the market does not like is uncertainty. So, you know, some days it's impeachment, market's going down, tariffs, China, North Korea. And I still have this sense that, you know, they both kind of need to do a deal. It would be good to do a deal. But, you know, also on China's other side is, you know, we're China. I'm going to be the leader eventually still, and Trump's going to be gone. Can we wait him out? We've been around a long time, so why do we have to do a deal? We'll wait for somebody else that'll cave to us. And if that person doesn't cave, then we'll wait for the next person. Whatever. We'll keep having talks and see if we can get you to cave, because we're not doing intellectual stuff. We don't believe in that. And we like stealing. It's a core thing. We're just going to be true to who we are. They aren't saying that. I'm just kidding around there a little bit, but all seriously, that is kind of how they are as well. So we're going to have uncertainty, and uncertainty is what bothers the market. And you've got impeachment talks, and you know, we've got an election, and the polls are going to be telling you one thing when maybe something else happens. And then we're coming up to the vote, like, oh my gosh, who's going to win? What's the problem? Oh, there's a scandal right before the election for somebody, and I'm sure it will, maybe several, who knows? And it's just the market's going to move around. And that's part, if you have equities, you need to understand it's going to move. And if it's moving more than you can tolerate, then you should have less. That's how you solve that. If it's bothering you, maybe you should have less. A client starts, you know, I am not liking what's going on with the S&P 500. I'm not liking these ETFs. Maybe you should have less then, because this is what they do. And you have to patient. You have to have some, be able to tolerate it to succeed over time. And I definitely think no one should have equities only. That's a core thing. No one should be equities only.
One thing that has amused me about this situation is both sides of the political aisle swear that if they don't get their person elected, the economy is going to tank. So there are people on both sides of the political spectrum that think the opposite. If one guy loses, the economy is going to do great. And if their guy wins, the economy is going to do, you know. So the people that are so concerned that they think everything's going to go to heck in a handbasket, what does that mean to get out of the market? Where does it go?
What, to just sell everything in the market? Well, you're pretty much going the money market. Like if you do so in a 401k and wanting to sell out of equities and bonds, which you should have a blend of both, not just equities. I would be okay if I had bonds only, but I would not want equity only. But if you're selling and you're inside your 401k, money's moving over stable value / money market. If you've got a brokerage account or IRA at a brokerage firm, essentially when you're shifting out of positions, you're moving into money market there, very short term. So what's your alternative to that? Maybe you're wanting some risk to where maybe risk is taken off the table. Maybe some fixed indexed annuities or fixed interest annuities where you don't carry any market exposure from the downside of the market. So there are alternatives to that. It's just something you should look more into and think about. But if uncertainty is bothering you and it's bothering your portfolio, it's the equities in it that's jumping around, rolling around.
When you rate an investor's risk tolerance, some people score a zero. It means they don't like any risk. They don't want to lose a penny ever. Do those people have to worry about an election?
No.
Does that matter what the law changes are?
I think the Federal Reserve bothers them some because they're still making a mess of it. And if anything, I think the Federal Reserve may well be affecting us more than anything right now. You could argue that with the tariffs and China things created some volatility. I don't think the impeachment is so unlikely, even though it's just a lot of noise. It takes quite a bit. First, the president probably needs to actually break a law to do so. And then there's a debate on whether a law is broken. So I don't know. Maybe there's misinterpretations of law, but kind of at the core, you got to break some laws to have a reason to be impeached. Just bottom line, simplifying it. Going to be noise there for quite a while, but we probably have tariffs and the China thing affecting it. But then the Federal Reserve with, you know, they over tightened. We're running out of time. When we come back, let's talk about what the Federal Reserve's doing.
That's what Stephanie Pomboy is going to be bringing up in these audio clips next. If you have a financial situation, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker, and we are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Hey, how you doing? Good evening. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. You are listening to The Money Show. There's other money shows. This is The
Maybe we ought show. To trademark The.
Yeah, let's try that.
The Show.
And then anytime someone uses The, we come and hit them with a cease and desist.
Especially Ohio State. We'd shut them down if we could get. I know they tried and fell. Let's try.
Oh, did they do that too? Is that where that comes from?
Yeah, they tried to trademark.
Just pretend like I didn't know that first. Okay, so Stephanie Pomboy, she is a representative from a financial firm, a research firm on Wall Street called Macro Mavens, regular guest on Fox Business. She always happens to show up at 7:30 Central Time on Maria Bartiromo's show. And we've grown to really like her over the last couple of years. We liked her at first, but when some of the things she was saying had an interesting habit of coming true, well, now we downright pay attention anytime she's on. And Gregory, you said yesterday you think may be one of her best appearances?
Yes, and definitely, because look, we're pretty much attuned when she shows up and all it comes on our radar. Because I want to hear her take, her macro take on things, and it's pretty solid. But, you know, there's not much I gleaned from her the past couple months. But I tell you what, I was totally in tune with this because I felt she is spot on with her analysis.
Okay, so a context for the guy listening, he probably hadn't heard all the shows that we've done. So one of the things that strikes us about Stephanie Pomboy is when so many other the pundits and analysts are focused on stocks and they're focused on earnings and indexes and Elon Musk and tweets, she really has a tendency to focus so much on the debt side of the market, you know, bonds, municipal bonds, corporate bonds, negative interest rates. And she has a different tact than the rest of the field so often. Now, today, it was different sort of in that same vein to where the talk of the town, where's this market going, really depends on China. Are we going to have a deal? And what's the deal look like? Is it going to be a deal in name only? And she brought this one back to the Fed. She was like, yeah, sure, China's going to be doing stuff and we have other problems going on, but none of that compares to the problem that the Fed gives us. All right. So you're going to hear us start to talk about China, but each subsequent clip is going to go further down this other branch. I just want you to know that in context, she was talking a completely different game than the other four people who were at that desk. She was focused on a different part of the financial world. And that's what separated her out in this conversation. That might be why she stood out for you yesterday. But it started, this is where she jumps into the conversation as it had been going on for hours already on Maria Bartiromo yesterday. Are we going to have a trade deal with China?
You know, I'm over this constant headline back and forth and back and forth. It's been, what, a year and a half now of this. And it seems pretty clear that, you know, the prospects of getting a real deal where we get the intellectual property agreement and real enforcement, et cetera, looks pretty dim. It's going to take a long, long time to get the Chinese to concede to that. I think they have a much longer term time frame that they're working on.
Yeah.
And they really ultimately want to challenge U.S. hegemony, and they've got a much bigger objective here. So I think, you know, these headlines back and forth are going to keep going. Maybe we get the small deal, but ultimately, I don't see anything material happening.
I think you probably agree with that, Gregory.
Yeah, absolutely. Been saying that for a while, that they're going to take the long view. You know, look, China do a deal quicker, but they're just not going to cave on those things. And then you've got Trump on the other side that we've got to have these things, and he, you know, could he step in and do a deal sooner to save his presidency? It could be possible reason to think about if something gets done earlier. Who's likely to cave it? I think it would have to be him.
Amen on that. And so here's Stephanie. She walks in, and they're talking about China, and they're talking about impeachment, and they're talking about Ukraine. And she's kind of tapping the brakes on everyone, saying, I don't know if y'all get this yet. The real problem here that we're facing going forward in economic growth is the Fed.
I think the trade thing is often blamed for a lot of the weakness we're seeing in the data. And in my view, the weakness is really much more a function of the Fed and just how completely behind the curve they've been throughout this cycle. You know, if you cast your mind back to 2016 in the summer before the election, profits were in recession. The economy was clearly slowing on the heels of the Fed rate increases that began the year prior. Consumer spending had been cut in half, and the 10-year yield went from 2.5 to the all-time record low of 1.4, a little under 1.4 at that time. Then Trump's elected, and the anticipation and ultimate delivery of the tax cuts had the economy and the markets do a 180, and we had this kind of rejuvenation of animal spirits and everything turned around. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, the Fed was still tightening. And then, as we all remember, in 2017, they actually started doing QT and unwinding the balance sheet on top of that.
That is totally it. And you and I, we followed the Fed and talked about all the leaders of the Fed, that group, that hostile group running the banking and interest system. But we felt when they started rising interest rates, they were late there. They should have started earlier, could have went at a slower pace. Then that last rate hike, they should not have done. And I still disagree with the unwinding of the balance sheet. I'm like, why do we need to do that? And that's the worst part. That created the over-tightening that we're now dealing with.
Came into this year, and obviously the effect of the tax cut faded, and this monetary drag that we had been experiencing really came into focus. Not surprisingly, profits slumped right back into recession. Consumer spending has rolled over. CapEx has been cut and, you know, has gone from, I think, up 8% to minus 2% year on year. And the yield curve obviously has come in, and the 10-year yield has rallied aggressively. So clearly there's some indication that there may be recession.
She's got me convinced here, Gregory. That's a lot of statistics. She's just cranking out one right after another.
Oh, she's on it, and they clearly are the problem. And we've talked about this a lot, and I've said it a lot. The Fed is the historical number one impact on the markets, causing volatility and gyrations. And I just kind of, as a rule, I say Fed gets it wrong half the time, and they darn sure have done it again.
Now listen to this. She's starting to win over the people in this panel. A lot of them are pro-Trump, so they kind of have blinders on. They see economic growth and great things going through the election, and so they're saying, "All right, well, you had a lot of scary data out there, but what if we get a rate cut? Won't that help?"
I would push back against that, though, because I think what we've seen, and one of the reasons why consumer spending has been generally tepid relative to how strong the consumer should be, with, you know, 50-year low in unemployment rate, record high net worth, low debt service, is that we're an aging population. And when the Fed takes interest rates down to effectively zero, you have to work 100 times as hard to save the same amount of money for your retirement.
Yeah.
Can't
they're
argue.
Overreacting the wrong direction, and they're tweaking two things at once. Okay, well, let's lower interest rates and let's stop the tightening, the Q2, the unwinding of the balance sheet. And they couldn't just stop one or the other, stop the unwinding and see where things go. I was fine taking back that quarter point. I don't think they should, but to keep lowering interest rates, it's a problem.
Maria Bartiromo asked a great question. If you had the Fed in front of you right now, what would you ask them?
If QT was going to be like watching paint dry, why did you bother expanding the balance sheet in the first place? I mean, obviously, if you thought that expanding the balance sheet was going to be stimulative and encourage, you know, risk appetite, et cetera, then taking it back would therefore be a drag, correct? Right. So they seem to have had this fantasy that they'd be able to unwind the balance sheet in a way that had no market impact or economic impact whatsoever, all evidence to the contrary.
That's exactly what you were saying, just a clever way of saying it.
Yeah, it's right. You're sucking the air out of the room. No, it's no effect. We pumped it in. We can take it out. It's okay. No, you can't.
Yeah, if QT was going to be watching paint dry, then why'd you buy the assets in the first place? Why'd you need to put them on the balance sheet if it has no effect on the economy?
Yeah, that's why it's just like, say, okay, we got to pay off the $21 trillion of the debt that the country has. That's not ever happening. And you put $4.5 trillion on the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve. Oh, we'll just peel it back. No, you should
not with zero consequences. There will be consequences.
I don't think we ever unwind that balance sheet here forward. I'm sure they're going to try again, but it's got to be at such a slow pace. It's going to be generational. 504-832-9200. And if you want to have a meeting with my team and I, give us a call.
Your home away from the show is winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest, subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.